Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stutter Talk. This is the B-Team show for August, and specifically, this is episode 295 with Karen Herring.
Hi.
And Roisin McManus.
Hey, everyone.
And I feel like we haven't spoken for a while because the last show was we did for July was at the beginning of the month for the NSA concert, or concert, NSA conference.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a couple announcements quick before we get started. The first one here is that in the coming weeks, Stutter Talk will be holding a the book club on air. We will discuss the wonderful book titled Black Swan Green by David Mitchell. David Mitchell stutters. Well, he stammers because he is British, and that's what they call it over there. Black Swan Green is a novel which features a boy growing up stuttering, or perhaps more to the point, avoiding stuttering. Read the book and send us your thoughts, comments, and questions on Black Swan Green by David Mitchell. So we're going to be reading that, and if the listeners want to read that as well and send us in some questions or comments, that would be outstanding. The last announcement is that if you haven't gone over to the iTunes entry for Stutter Talk and left a comment, you should, because I'm not sure how all their crazy algorithms work over at Apple, but apparently if you get a lot of comments on your podcast, you increase the visibility for the podcast, and it's a helpful thing to do. So that's one way that the listeners can support Stutter Talk if they would like.
If you want to call Stutter Talk, you can dial 206-666-5340. And if you want to write to Stutter Talk, you can write to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And if you have questions or comments directed to the B-Team, you can write to bteam@stuttertalk.com.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you to what am I trying to say? some listeners have taken the time to write in some comments, just saying some words of encouragement to us, and we really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, we did it too. Yes, we
really,
do.
Really do.
So should we start the show?
Yes.
So maybe we, or like not maybe, but we should probably go around and just catch all the listeners and each other up on what's been happening in our lives since NSA, because it's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've picked up on Facebook that there's been some exciting things going on in Karen's life that I would like to hear about.
All right. I guess I can start us off. Since the NSA, my life has been very stutterific, you could say. Lots of stuttering stuff going on. I finished up my externship at the American Institute for Stuttering, and I also graduated from grad school, so I'm officially a speech-language pathologist. And I recently started my first real job as an SLP. I'm working for the nonprofit organization called Our Time, which has been on Stutter Talk quite a bit in the past. but it's an organization for kids who stutter that are interested in the arts, basically. And they also have a camp that goes on that's open to kids who stutter and friends of kids who stutter or siblings. So I've been pretty busy with that. Sure. And I'm also starting in a few weeks part-time working with Lee Caggiano in her private practice.
Lucky.
And she's...
I know.
And she's, for people who don't know, she's a speech pathologist. She's also board recognized in stuttering. She's also the founder or one of the founders of the organization Friends for Young People Who Stutter. So that's totally sweet because she's awesome and smart, and I get to see lots of kids and adults who stutter with her. Mm-hmm. So basically my life has been all stuttering since the NSA.
Man, that sounds really, really cool, Karen. So you've already started, or are you starting soon with Our Time and Lee?
Yeah, I've been working with Our Time. I guess this past week was my first week there.
Okay.
So it's very, very new still. And then I start with Lee in a few weeks, I guess. I don't really know 100%, but all pretty exciting. It's been interesting sort of being in like an office setting, especially hearing so many stories about like friends having issues with offices and phones and people hearing you. And it's just been such a unique experience for me since the like founder and director is also a person who's stutters, and yeah, the whole organization is for stuttering. It's been very, very weird, but cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can understand it. I have to tell you that the last couple Stutter Talk shows that have been centered around Our Time, I've really enjoyed, because I'm familiar with Our Time and I know some of what goes on there, but at the same time I haven't had a lot of exposure to it, so it's been kind of informative for me. And I always, whenever I'm hearing about it, I always think to myself that would have been so awesome to go to.
Yeah, that's really cool. You need to move to New York, Joel.
Okay.
Then you could get involved.
There's obviously little hints of envy coming.
You just need to finish your degree, and then you can do it too.
It's just, yeah, it's too bad that isn't happening anytime soon. All right, Roisin, so what's new in your life?
Well, I've been good since NSA. A couple of weeks after NSA, I actually went down to Washington, D.C. for the Friends yearly conference, which was cool. I was only there for a pretty short amount of time, but it was good to just feel the energy there. And then since then, I've been just working a lot, and I was telling Karen about this earlier a little bit, but I'm actually going to start speech therapy again in the fall, or in the next few weeks.
Cool.
Which I've sort of been like toying with for the past couple months, thinking about it, but not really making moves to actually make it happen. But I'm looking forward to kind of getting back in the client seat. It's kind of interesting because I'll be doing it over Skype, which I'm not really sure how that will be. But I'm excited for it. So that's basically what's new with me.
Okay.
in my life.
What kind of stuff do you want to get out of the therapy, do you think? Or do you have, like, goals in mind going in?
I think that I don't have very clearly defined goals, and I'm hoping that that the first session, the therapist that I'm working with can, like, help me kind of more clearly define them. But basically the reason why I'm going is that I feel like when I first tried speech therapy as an adult, I had a lot of emotional, like, kind of psychosocial things going on that I really wanted to work on, and I wasn't really interested in working on my actual physical speaking. And I'm kind of ready and interested to like learn more about speaking strategies.
Okay. Hmm.
Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
I said specifically stuttering modification. It's like I've been reading about it recently, and I think that it's just something that I want to give a more wholehearted shot.
Is there something that, like, happened that made you decide now is the time? Like, you had a few years off from therapy. Like, what? Why now?
I think that working on my job is definitely a part of it. Just because I'm not scared of speaking on my job at all anymore, and I don't have all of these anxieties about it. And when I first started, like, my challenge was conquering those feelings, like not being afraid to tell my coworkers, not being afraid to tell my patients, not being afraid to speak freely. Mm-hmm. And that now, that's not really a huge challenge for me at work anymore. But I feel like the challenge for me is that I just want to have more ease in speaking. And I want to be able to just communicate more easily.
Yeah.
So that's
cool, Roisin.
Yeah. And I'm also looking forward to, like, to grad school and all these things that I'm, like, getting ready to apply for. And I just want to kind of feel like I have a little bit more control over my speech.
You're applying to graduate school?
Yeah, for next fall, which I'm very happy about. But,
cool.
Yeah.
You'll probably finish graduate school before I finish.
Wait, Joel, are you
also working?
Yeah.
You're in classes and, like, seeing clients though, right? Just, yeah. Like, slowly.
I have 2 years left, four semesters left.
Okay, that's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm getting there. It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, good.
I feel like I'm in a kind of a similar place as you, Roisin, but I think I have too much pride and my ego's too big to actually go to speak.
That's such an interesting thing to say.
No, I
completely
I don't completely agree with what I just said, but there's definitely some truth to it. Just because I feel like that I know enough about therapy that I should be able to work on things on my own, you know?
I gotcha.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear the episode I did with Peter. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, possibly a little bit longer. But I've just gotten, well, I'd gotten really into avoidance reduction stuff and learning about some stuff that Joseph Sheehan has written. And I was kind of on like kind of a big kick. And I think in the last 2 weeks, especially, laziness has kind of taken over, or I've gotten a lot more interested in designing guitar effects pedals.
Like what kind of stuff were you trying to do?
The main things I was trying to do was that's just a fantastic question. I think I was really just trying on focusing on not suppressing stuttering at all, and really trying to be cognizant of really any time I was either consciously or subconsciously pretending to not be a stutterer. I was kind of afraid to talk about this a little bit, because the last time I was on Stutter Talk with Peter, I kind of felt like I had some revelations, and I certainly still feel like a lot of those are true, but I guess, you know, there's just sometimes in life with stuttering, and this has happened to me like 100 times, where I feel like the path forward is so clear and so obvious, and then for whatever reason, I take my eyes off of what I'm looking at, or whatever truth I thought that I saw, and then the next time I try to look over at it again, it's like gone, and I'm not sure what's going on again, and what I'm supposed to be doing, and what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, I mean that like pretty much sums up stuttering.
Yeah,
because like you feel comfortable, you feel confident, you feel like you have it figured out, and then you look back and you're like, wait a minute, like I thought I had this figured out.
Yeah. I know I've talked about this before on air too, but you know, and then I talk about all this stuff about stuttering and what I'm gonna do or what I'm not gonna do, but my day-to-day life is just so easy. Like my job, I'm not ever in stressful speaking situations, or if I am, it's really rare. And I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder how realistic my life is relative to just any given stutterer that would walk in for therapy. And I guess the reason I say all this is that I'm always thinking about the implications about what is going to happen someday when I'm a the therapist, and I'm giving speech therapy to people, and I just know for me, I'm on Stutter Talk. I'm going to school for speech language pathology, and that's just like such a situation that's very conducive to things like advertising your stuttering and being more comfortable with stuttering. And still, even amidst all of that, I still just like have so much struggle at certain times with my stuttering. So I guess what I'm saying is that even though I always have doubts about myself as a therapist, because you know I've got this situation for my own self that is so conducive to success, yet it's still so hard sometimes.
You know, I don't think that the situation you have is automatically conducive to success. I think that you work to make your situation like stuttering friendly, and you made your situation that it was a place where you could stutter openly or advertise. And I think because you did that, you're the perfect person to teach someone else how to take a situation where people don't know they stutter, or an office where it's very fast paced, and teach them how to get to where you are.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I kind of just like in this weird way kind of long for a situation like that where I really have to talk the talk, you know, like I stutter to the degree that I stutter, and it's still okay.
You know? I bet you could find a situation that you could practice that if that's what you wanted to do.
Rachel, I'm not really sure what you understand by talk the talk versus what you're doing now.
I just think that to be a person who stutters in the job that I have is not hard.
Oh, okay.
But would you agree that it was hard at one point?
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing that you used to like not enjoy talking to your boss about things.
Well, it's still hard with him sometimes, but I think, you know, once you spend more time with people, you get more comfortable.
Right. So you're sort of are comfortable now and you want another challenge?
I don't know. I don't know if I want more challenges.
You're like, I think it's really interesting what you said about what you were originally talking about women, and you said being a person who stutters all the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, do you feel like a lot of this struggle that you're having is because there are times where you can kind of get away with trying to not be a person who stutters until it comes back and, you know, kicks you in the mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just really, really excited about this whole idea of being a stutter all the time. And I think in the last couple weeks, I've just kind of lost my way a little bit because just because sometimes it can be so exhausting to be a stutterer all the time, and then I'm finding that I have, you know, these urges to hide it.
Mm.
You know, that are like
to say
stronger than usual. Stronger than I would like.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's, I mean, just like the typical, like you were saying before, just like the path of stuttering, though. Like, is that almost like gonna happen regardless?
Yeah.
Or is there something that we can do to prevent that?
Yeah. I think I'm just like when I was talking to Peter, I'm just like really wanting or excited to make changes or some more changes, and I guess I just have kind of forgot about how hard it is to make changes.
Yeah.
Changing is hard.
No, it's true.
It's funny because when you first brought up how like always being a person who stutters could kind of be like a freeing thing, I agreed right away, because I was imagining myself like in those little colloquial situations, like when someone asks you for directions or when you're in a store or when you're ordering food, that like sometimes it's just easier to like not be a person who stutters. And it's so tempting also. But like, and I was thinking, yeah, like it would just free me if I just decided in those moments to still be a person who stutters and not like just automatically revert back to trying to hide it.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you said that, Roisin, because there was this situation where it was like when I first moved in, we were walking out of the apartment and someone was moving in like next door to us. And you said something to them like, "Oh, are you the new people moving in?" And you stuttered pretty openly as you asked. And I was like so impressed by that. Like that would have been a prime time that I would have like I might not even been consciously doing this. But like my very first impression with someone is asking them quickly something on the street, like I probably wouldn't have stuttered. So you just said like how you when during ordering in a restaurant or asking for directions, like you try not to stutter, but that's not always the case with you.
No, it's definitely not.
Which I think is really really cool.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's definitely not always the case. I think because. No, it's definitely not always the case, but I always feel that a lot of times, like, I'll start speaking and I won't even be thinking about, like, stuttering stuff, and then if I don't think about it, I stutter, because it just happens more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I always have, like, this thing in my head that's like, well, maybe, like, I don't always act on it, but I always feel that moment of, like, I could just not be a person who stutters right now, and it'd be just easier. Now I just walk. But it doesn't always happen. But I can totally like recognize that emotion. Recently, though, I've been like, as much as I agree that like just deciding to just let myself be who I am all the time is a much better option than not. Recently, I've been kind of feeling like I'm tired of just being a person who stutters. Like, not really. I'm just like in situations at like I think at work is the only time when it really comes out, because It's not that I'm tired of stuttering. It's that I'm tired of just, like, letting it happen. And I'm just, like, and I just, I'm not even sure how to explain it. And it's not, like, a totally, I'm like, oh, like, I hate stuttering. I'm afraid of it. I hate it. Like, I hate this part of myself. But I'm just sort of, like, I don't really want to be sitting here and just letting all the stuttering happen when, like, I could maybe be doing something where it wouldn't be happening. And I'm not really sure.
Why do you is it because of the physical struggle of it, or just like your words aren't coming out as fast as you want?
For me, well, for me, they always come out as more faster than I want. Even if I'm crazy about getting them out in time, but I think it's about the physical aspect of it. It's about like how I feel like my body gets so worked up,
yeah.
And I feel like, and then in turn, my mind gets worked up. And then I'm just like, I just don't want to, like, be feeling like this. And I know that I felt that, like, that's not, like, a new emotion for me to feel or for anyone who started to feel. So I feel like this is uncomfortable. But, and I'm just wondering if, like, trying to go in the other direction by saying, no, just be this person who stutters. Just be this would, like, take the feeling away of trying to like flee to the other side. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's kind of what I've been excited about, but it's hard to maintain that being excited about it, because you want to project yourself as a confident stutterer, and sometimes it's just implicitly hard to do that.
And yeah,
it's hard it's not that it's always hard to do it for a short amount of time, because certainly after you get back from something like the NSA conference, you're super proud about the fact that you stutter, but then like 2 weeks after that, sometimes it can be kind of hard again, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it's really hard for me to find a balance between feeling confident stuttering and feeling kind of confidently resigned to my stuttering. Like, it's really hard for me to, like, find an in-between there. Between this, like, the stuttering, at this point, I'm not really ever in a situation where I'm hiding it, and I'm not really embarrassed about it, but it's just like, it's either like feeling totally confident doing it or feeling like, well, it's just happening, so I have to just like kind of deal with it. And it's just like,
that's interesting you brought that up, Roisin. That's kind of like a hot topic right now among a lot of like stuttering professionals. Like, if accepting your stuttering is almost like throwing in the towel.
Yeah, and whenever I heard that, I'd be like, that's complete but I can kind of feel that. I can feel that a little bit. I think this is part of why I'm going back to speech, because I'm not sure if it's a bad feeling or if that resigning is really what it is, but it just doesn't really feel positive to me.
I've got kind of an interesting story that is kind of related to this, but I just think you guys would get a kick out of it. last week at work, this guy came in, and every once in a while at work, we'll kind of have, you know, some rock stars come in, and they like want to check out our pedals or whatever, and every time one comes in, there's like that part of me that's just like, oh, I don't even want to have to meet them, you know, because I just don't feel like it. But I think that part of it is you know, this stuttering, and of course I always push it out of my head right away, but it's like every time one comes in. It's like I feel like I'm in seventh grade all over again, where everybody in the shop, everybody in the office just acts a little bit differently because they want this rock star person to think that they're cool. And I remember, you know, when I was in seventh grade, I didn't want to stutter in front of people because I didn't think it was cool. But now I do stutter in front of people because it's just what I always do. And anyway, so I'm talking to this guy and I'm meeting this guy, and I don't think I had stuttered yet. I'm not sure why. I had only said a couple sentences, and then we were going to all, everybody was going to all take their picture with him, and everybody's wearing what was it? That everybody in the shop kind of had the same outfit on. We were all wearing a printed shirt and then some cargo shorts. And of course I happen to be wearing my vintage National Stuttering Project shirt.
Obviously. Wait, so everyone in the company had the same shirt on except you?
No. They just had, like, you know, just like a plain colored shirt with something that was on it, printed. So, like, we all kind of had, like, a similar outfit on. And anyway, we were just like, oh, we're laughing about that. And then one of my coworkers was like, oh, and Joel's wearing a stuttering shirt. Surprise, surprise. And then,
like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I was just kind of, I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then, and then he was like, okay. So then I got to make sure I don't confuse you guys. So then the rock star guy, I'm just withholding his name, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Was like, oh, stuttering, like the kind that's like stuttering. And I don't know if he was mocking it or whatever, but then I'm just like, oh, like, he doesn't know I stutter yet. So then I just, like, interjected right away and was like, oh, I stutter, and threw in a voluntary stutter. And then, like, you know, we started talking about it a little bit, and he was talking about how there's stuttering in songs all the time, you know, for, like, a rhythmic kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like, you know, there's just so many songs like that. But
wait, so was the rock star trying to make a joke? I don't get it.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It sounds like he actually just trying to, like, clarify it. Because he probably didn't know you stutter. He's like, why would he be wearing this random shirt about stuttering? Like, is he actually talking about, like, this kind of stuttering?
What other stuttering is there?
I don't know.
I don't know, but then I think that he kept talking to me because I think that he might have felt like it was possible that I interpreted it in a wrong kind of a way.
Or he felt bad because he was making fun of you.
Yeah, I don't know. See, this is what's so stupid. It's like,
I don't really matter.
That's the time where it's like, I would just, you know, I just didn't really want to have, like, a 10-minute conversation about stuttering. But then now that I'm saying it, it was kind of a cool thing that it happened.
Yeah.
I think I just need to accept that these things happen.
Yeah.
I was just kind of a little frustrated by it because, I don't know, for some reason that day, I think I was just, like, not excited to, like, throw it out there.
I think we all have to just accept that we stutter. Yeah. Call it a day.
What a crazy thought, Roisin. You are full of great ideas today.
The thing that though that I like the best about that story, how it's seriously every time someone comes in, it's like everybody acts just a little different because they just want that person to think they're cool. It's like the popular kid in school, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, like, ugh, I don't... I don't know. It's kind of just weird to me, but
yeah,
kind of funny. It'll help me someday to relate, to remember what it was like to be in junior high when I have some clients of that age.
Yeah.
So do you know that you want to work with people who stutter, or do you kind of have varied interest in the field of speech?
Well, I'm still keeping an open mind about things, but I honestly just have no idea what's going to happen with me and, like, where I'm going to want to work. And
right.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out, like, if you, like, I can't see you just not doing your engineering thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you think you'll do both part-time?
I think probably. Because on a day-to-day level, you know, I enjoy the life so much, but then there's that part of me that wonders if I need to challenge myself some more, just to get outside my comfort zone some more, because so often now, I'm in my comfort zone pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I don't. I mean,
bad. I think that can be bad.
I think it's good to get out of your comfort zone, but I don't know if it's to do that you need to change your career.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. I know that. I'm just, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's just, I'm just lost in the woods, you know?
you're going to be a really good SLP, Joel.
For sure.
There's probably some people listening to the show right now that's like, wow, that guy is a mess.
No, but that's why you're going to be a good SLP, because you, like, really think deeply about the experience of stuttering from, like, all angles, and, like, on a very emotional level.
You know what I think it comes down to, and as much as I hate to admit this, I think that it's true, is that even, you know, as I've gotten really interested in guys like Joseph Sheehan or whatever, and I've been listening to some audio recordings of him, and of course, you know, I'm not really hearing any stuttering, and it's still that whole thing where I just think, like, there's a way to speak a lot easier than when I'm speaking. Why can't I figure out how to do it?
But you don't know if when they're speaking fluently, if they're somehow controlling their speech, or if it's just spontaneous fluency.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, but it sounds really struggle-free.
It's also possible they just have a different level of stuttering than you do.
Yeah, but then, yeah, I don't know. You hear from everybody, or not necessarily here, but you read, like, a guy like Joseph Sheehan was, you know, you read everywhere, he's a very severe, whatever that means.
Hmm.
I don't know, I hate that that's, that I know in my heart and in my head, like, I'm going for a lot of less stuttering. But I hate that about myself, but I also like it about myself, because I know that it's going to continue to make me to keep exploring and trying out the different things with my speech, because I want to continue to find a place that I'm satisfied with, I guess.
Do you think of your,
what were you going to say, Karen?
Do you think if your fluency doesn't change, though, that you're going to feel like you failed in some way?
Well, I think that for a while I've been completely fine with my speech and how I sound, but I haven't been lately. But I think if I were to continue with the level that I'm at right now, I'd eventually just get used to it, and it'd be fine. Like, obviously I'm not, like, you know, super unhappy or anything right now, and I feel like I'm in a really good place in my life as far as happiness is concerned, you know, however you want to quantify that. But so yeah, I know everything would be okay, but I feel like there's got to be other ways, you know, or there's.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know your experience, like how it feels to you, but from an outsider, it's very easy to listen to you. It's like forward moving speech.
Take your SLT hat off. Stop.
No, it's true. It's true.
No, but like I really do enjoy hearing you stuttering. It's like a very calm way to stutter.
Well, then maybe I'm going somewhere then. But even today on the show, I'm stuttering to a degree that is. What's the correct wording? You always have to be so delicate. You
know? I know.
I'm stuttering at a high level.
A high frequency.
I guess that's just what feels right to me right now. And, you know, you always wonder how much you're able to change that in the given moment, but I don't know. I think, you know, maybe I just need to go through a exploratory period where I am just stuttering more than I would like to figure out exactly what's going on again. Rather, yeah. That's why I've gotten so obsessed with this Sheehan stuff, because I love the idea of not suppressing it. You know, this idea that suppression is a problem. This is a gross generalization right now, and I'm sure that there's people listening that know a lot about Sheehan, because I don't know very much. I'm trying to learn more. They're probably like, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. But I just like that idea. Let me ask you, Roisin, what is it about specifically stuttering modification that you're thinking, I need to do that? That's what I want to learn some more about.
I think that I'm interested in stuttering modification because, to me, stuttering feels like something that, for better or for worse, is always going to be changing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a comfort to me that no matter what, like, it could be getting better, it could be getting worse. Like, I'm never going to just be in this place forever.
Yeah.
And I feel like stuttering modification is good about, it's like a flexible, adaptable thing that kind of, like, complements that never-ending change in your speech. Where you're not trying to, like, you know, like, halt the stuttering or correct the stuttering or, well, I guess correct stuttering, maybe you are in certain situations, but you're just kind of reacting to this kind of ebb and flow of stuttering. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure if that's like my romanticized, non-educated, like, version of it. I'm not really sure if that's what it will actually give me.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I did, like, fluency shaping or something that was a little more of a philosophy of speaking, where, like, you change how you speak, it always felt like a farce because it didn't really address the fact that stuttering is always going to be changing and can't just be fixed, I guess. And it just seems doable. Like, when I learned prolongations or, like, easy onsets or, you know, I guess voluntary stuttering is kind of like stuttering modification to me. And when I learned those things, they actually seemed, like, tangible and possible. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of want to revisit them a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's always been kind of my go-to answer when people say what I, well, I guess this isn't entirely true, but, you know, they'll ask me, well, what kind of strategies do you use to manage your stuttering? And, you know, I'll say something like, or I used to say something like, well, stuttering, modification and voluntary stuttering or whatever. And sometimes I just wonder, and I think I've heard someone else say this, if all these, you know, speaking tools or speaking strategies that make up stuttering modification, if these were just the different the things that Van Riper did to mess with his speech, and then he just put some names on them, and all of a sudden it's this tool that everybody was supposed to use, when in reality, you know, Van Riper found out that if he prolonged the first sound for a while, that it helped him talk easier.
And, yeah. That's interesting.
And then, you know, that's always something that Peter talks about. It's like, you know, then you're, like, throwing these layers over the stuttering. It's like, oh, I stuttered, so I'm gonna patch that up with this tool that's called a prolongation.
That's interesting, and I hadn't really thought about that, honestly. Well, I mean, like, but even in spite of that, what you said about Van Riper just messing around with his speech, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like just trying to mess around with my speech will be a helpful thing.
I agree.
You know, just not trying to change it. And I agree that, like, throwing something on, like, a prolongation, yeah. I honestly don't think that I've had enough real world, trying to use them to really know if it'll be a negative or a positive thing. But I just kind of like that game of, like, just not trying to change how you speak, but trying to just, like, you know, tweak it or mess around with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, I just said all that, but then there's times when I, like, have the word prolongation in my head, and I think I'm going to consciously try to put some prolongations into my speech, and then all of a sudden I feel like that's, like, the most helpful thing in the world, and I'm thinking about it exactly how I've in the past rationalized that it wasn't a helpful way to think about it. If that makes any sense. Basically what I'm trying to do right now is contradict myself.
But I feel like with all speech, with all speaking strategies, it's always this game of, like, it's not so much about the strategy, because all of that then can become kind of negative crutches in this sense. If you don't have the right mindset or, like, a relationship with your therapist or, like, approach to just speaking, if you don't have a certain level of comfort stuttering, or a certain level of comfort that, like, you will stutter or this could be uncomfortable, then, like, they could all kind of work against you. So it's hard to make a case for, in my opinion, it's hard for me to make a case for any speaking strategy.
Yeah. I don't really understand that completely. Will you explain that again?
Yeah, I think that, like, for me personally, with every speaking strategy that I've learned, when I learned most of them, I was in a place where I still had a lot of, like, fear of stuttering, and I wasn't I wasn't comfortable being uncomfortable speaking. Like, I wasn't ready to accept that speaking could sometimes be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had a responsibility to speak. That, and in the moments where I couldn't accept that, almost every speaking strategy was, like, a net negative add-on to stuttering.
Sure. Yeah, I think any speaking strategy is, like, next to impossible to use when you're in a really when you're in a place where you don't accept yourself or accept your speech. But I don't understand, like, when you said that the tools can be a crutch, what does that mean?
But when I say crutch, I mean like something that when I'm having a hard time, I'll just throw on top of my stuttering, and it doesn't really feel like it's me just, like, speaking freely. It's me leaning on something and still kind of, like, not, like, confidently speaking. I mean, I'm hoping that I find a way to use speaking strategies where, like, that's not the case, and I'm confident that I can, that other people have, that I can probably do that, but that I feel like it's a pretty, like, fragile balance there for me.
So, wait, can I recap and see if I understand?
Sure.
Is it that when you're speaking and you're really trying to use different speaking techniques and sort of to manage your stuttering, you're just unsure if it's going to work or if your stuttering will be more controlled?
I'm unsure if it's, like, benefiting me in the end. Like completely benefiting me. Like, it might make me stutter less in that situation, but I'm unsure if it's making me feel more whole.
Huh.
As opposed to either openly stuttering or it's like, I've always, like, had a struggle of, like, do I feel more whole openly stuttering and stuttering confidently, or does that make me feel a little bit too broken? So it's worth it to try to use speaking tools, even if those don't make me feel totally whole either.
But do you think it's possible to use speaking strategies and still do them confidently?
I hope so. And that's what I'm hoping to, like, work on.
Yeah, you know, I was just, when you're talking right now, I'm just imagining that, you know, you go to therapy and, you know, let's say you're working on doing some prolongations or whatever. And before a stutter talk or at the beginning of the stutter talk, you're like, all right, guys, I'm going to work on prolongations. And I'm not trying to disparage that idea, because there's a lot of times actually when I want to do that, but then, you know, because I'm talking to you guys and it's stutter talk, I want to feel the freedom just to stutter. But what I'm trying to say is that for some reason I can't see you doing that.
I can't see myself doing either. Which I want to change, because I want to have that. And I've never done, like, even when I was at AIS, like, people were using vocal flow management, and I, like, I mean, I tried, but it was, like, a big joke to me. Like, I wouldn't even, I was like, I really am not going to use this. Like, it, and I feel like part of it for me is, like, there's, like, such, there's this part of me that can so easily feel ashamed of stuttering if that door is opened. And I feel like sometimes in the past when I've tried to learn speaking strategies or use them, that door is like flung wide open. And then it's really hard for me to not feel negatively when I'm stuttering.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just implicit that something wrong is happening.
Yeah, and I think that, and I can't even really articulate why that feels so extreme and like painful, but there's something about it that in the past has felt like it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it to feel like that, as opposed to finding a way to like feel confident just speaking and stuttering. But I'm obviously like hitting a wall, and I think a lot of people hit a wall where they're like, I'm mature enough, or I hope I'm mature enough, and I've learned enough about stuttering and about myself to like be able to try and change the way that I speak. Do you guys feel that when you... I'm not sure if, Karen, you especially, like, I guess I'm not really sure if you use speaking strategies or not.
I don't... I mean, I guess the speaking strategies that I use are, I mean, a lot of, like, acceptance and stuttering openly without, like, secondary behaviors.
Right.
I don't know. I think I was having a conversation with a few people about this not that long ago, that I think a lot of it has sort of become more second nature to me. Like many years ago, before I really had any speech, my gut reaction was whatever block or whatever disfluencies I reach, I'm just going to push as hard as I can to get them to come out.
Okay.
And I think with therapy, it's become not 100%. There's definitely still times that I push, but it's become more second nature to sort of ease out of words and find where the tension is and reduce that tension, which is a lot of what stuttering modification is. But I don't think, I mean, I'm definitely not consciously doing it, but I think because I've been working on it for so long, it's become sort of what I do more naturally now.
Mm. And you know what? I've always kind of been skeptical about when people use that argument. But I've even have seen it sometimes where I'll be talking to Kelly, and she'll point out that I use, you know, some kind of a strategy on purpose, whether it be a prolongation or whatever, and I might not necessarily be super aware of it.
Yeah, I was a few weeks ago. I went to visit Lee and her practice in Long Island, and I was talking to one of her clients, and I was talking, and Lee jumped, and she's like, "Oh my god!" Talking to the client. "Oh my god! Did you see what she just did?" And I was like, "What did I just do?" And she was like, "She just used a pullout," and I was like, "I did." No sense.
Actually, now that I think about it, Karen, a lot of the times when you're stuttering, you have just a natural pullout. I mean, we all do because we like eventually stop stuttering, but like.
Right, but
you do have like a very fluid kind of pull out.
But that's something that I didn't always have. Like, yeah. For any therapy, my reaction was like I would build up the tension and build it up until it really like exploded out. Mm-hmm. Or I would just build up the tension and then just not say anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I use more sort of physical strategies than I think I do. I just don't consciously think about them.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what's so interesting to me is, okay, so that time you were obviously stuttering and then you were able to make some change to get out of the stuttering, but and that's what speech therapists call a pullout, you know? And
it's right. Like,
why does it have to be a pullout?
Like, why does it have to be this external thing that we have to, like, learn and then pull out of our pockets.
Right.
It should be called, and this is in quotes right now, the way that Karen gets out of some stutters, end quote. Instead of
and
I'm going to go out there and say, I want to learn the way that Karen gets out of stuttering.
Some stutters.
Yeah. I've actually, in the past few weeks, I've had a few conversations with Eric Jackson about this, because he always hates, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but my perception is that he sort of dislikes when people call like these things, quote unquote, tools, because like you're saying, it's not something that I'm like pulling out of my pocket to use. But my sort of rebuttal to that is that unless I was taught this quote-unquote tool, I don't think I would have figured it out on my own.
Yeah,
like, I think for someone like Van Riper or whoever wants to really spend the time and examine their speech, I think it completely can kind of be done. I think because it's true. The way I'm reducing the tension or the struggle that I'm having isn't the same as Roisin might reduce hers or you might reduce yours, Joel.
Although it could
so
be
it's
really
not,
similar.
Right. But I needed someone to sort of be like, you need to hold on to that moment of stuttering, examine where the tension is, and then relax that. And that process that you're doing, we're going to call a pull out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just like to pretend that I know what I'm talking about.
Well, no, I think there's a lot of speech pathologists that are on your side.
I think that there's an argument to be made both ways because it does if there's a certain thing that people are doing pretty universally and it's reasonably similar. I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to label it as something.
Yeah, there's a lot of speech pathologists that do things, though. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Well, guys, we've been talking for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long show.
This is a really long show.
And I have to edit it tonight.
One of those marathon shows.
Yep.
It was nice to talk, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now it'll be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, true.
All right, team.
All right, we'll talk. I'll talk to you in a minute, Roisin and Joel. I'll talk to you next month.
See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, bye.